to have baptisms. That's why we have our baptism tank here. The middle school did not come with a baptismal tank in the stage. We're hopefully going to build that for them at some point. Don't tell them. But anyways, I also just want to give just a quick kind of word of permission, if you will, for this morning. As we do the baptisms, we're going to have Andy Matrick come up first. He'll share his testimony, and then we'll baptize him. And baptisms are a huge celebration. So after he's baptized, you can feel free to yell, to scream, to hoot and holler. You could say, "Praise the Lord." That's kind of the traditional way of celebrating, to say praise the Lord together. We can do that. And I just want to remind you, you are in a middle school, so nothing is going to sound weird or goofy. Like, that's kind of normal for this space. So feel free to celebrate. You can jump up and down, twist around, do whatever you'd like. Like, there's nothing kind of off limits, if you will. So I just want to remind you of that after we baptize each one this morning, I just encourage you to celebrate, because it's an awesome moment for what's happened. So first, I'm going to have Andy come on up and share his testimony. Come on up, Andy. I'll take that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Morning. My name's Andy. Bear with me. A little bit nervous. I'm going to read off of here, and don't know. A little bit nervous just not wearing any shoes or socks in front of all these people.
It's a middle school, man.
Yeah. Anything goes. So this day has been a long time coming. It's been about 15 years since I first attended a high school Young Life weekend retreat. It was sort of by mistake. I thought it was just a ski trip up in New York, and was surprised to walk in a room about 300 kids all singing the same songs. Other than my brief Young Life experience, I've never had much of a religious background. I've always been uncomfortable with faith and intimidated by devoted followers. I can't explain why. I just felt like I couldn't fully be myself, because I've always had questions and speculations that I was afraid to explore and address with others. For 15 years, I made excuses to why faith wasn't the answer for me. Growing up, I was a holiday-only churchgoer. That didn't necessarily get me closer to faith. It sort of pushed me away, because it wasn't the relaxed version of every Sunday between church experience. It was an obligation, and it just didn't feel natural. My belief in college steered away from faith and directly applying stress and pressure on my own shoulders. Hope didn't always exist or come easy. My motto was, if I wanted something to happen, I would work harder to get what I needed out of life. I didn't need direction. I'll find my own path and making the right decisions. I found myself running around in circles in my mind and praying without reason. The turning point of everything goes back to about 2 years ago, when our son Cross was born. I had a realization that I'm no longer in control. God is, and he has a plan for me and my family. That day he was born, it was no longer about me. It was about caring for them with everything I have to offer and provide. I'd always been a warrior and overanalyzer, so when the pressure of real life became an increasing reality, I tried to revert back to running around in circles. I tell my wife weekly that we are capable of anything and everything that we want to accomplish. We both know and believe that because of hope and faith in God. My wife's own personal journey has made me feel much more comfortable with this process for myself. I've watched her progress with her own struggles and overcoming them almost without effort. Her mindset and huge heart has made me want to be a better man as well. I've always considered myself extremely lucky for what has fallen in my lap since graduating college. Fortunate enough to marry my high school sweetheart, landing a great job, raising a healthy, huge personality little boy. Tomorrow we settle on the purchase of our second home and having the support of a great base of family and friends. It has taken me a long time to realize that this isn't luck. This is, in fact, that we are blessed by God. There is no doubt that there is a greater power at work. The fact that I thought I could handle everything life throws at me, the people I care about around me, when the truth is that it's a monumental thing for me to understand that it's taken 20 years to admit that he is in control and I've fully opened my arms. I feel that God has been calling on me in many different parts of my life, and this is the next step for me to help answer those calls and develop even further our relationship. This is my chance to formally affirm my beliefs and set the stage for more learning, listening, and growing in the future. This process has helped me be a better person, husband, dad, and manager for my employees. This is the beginning, but I'm excited, and I appreciate all of you being here for my first couple of steps.
I'll take this. You can come around to the back. There's a... You're tall enough just to get in. Sarah, do you want to come on up too? Just get on your knees and just cross your arms. Andy, those are powerful testimony about what God's been doing in your life. And it's been awesome to be a part of that, to be able to watch God move in your life, to see you opening up to Him more and more, and to see you step into faith with Jesus Christ. And I couldn't be more honored and privileged this morning to be able, together with all of us, be able to baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. I'll just pray for you. I'm going to pray for Andy now. God, thank you so much for Andy. And like you said in his testimony, Lord, it's been a long time coming. But Lord, it's been cool to see and hear as he shared all those moments that you've been leading him and just reaching out to him and initiating your love to him throughout his life. And Lord, I'm just so happy and so excited for him that he's responded to that. He's given you lordship of his life, and that he's going to pursue you from this day forward and just even beyond. Before this, Lord, he had been doing that. And so, Lord, we just thank you so much for the transformation that's taken place in Andy's life. Lord, it's been fun just to hear him journey in faith with him as we've gathered through countless breakfasts and times together. I'm just so excited for him. And thank you for what you've done in his life. I thank you that he's a great father. He's a great manager of his employees, that he cares about people so much. And Lord, that comes from your heart. And we're thankful for that. And so Lord, I pray you just protect him and guide him now from this day forward as he continues to lead his family and to lead his workplace and to live for you. And so Lord, I just pray that you guard his heart, guard his mind. Allow him just to step towards you each and every day. Thank you for the loving wife and awesome son that he has. Lord, just this family that you've brought together. We're so excited about what you've done in their lives. And Lord, I know this is the beginning for a long journey with you. So we thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. I'm proud of you, Andy. Yeah. Next, we're going to have Dan and Sarah Schaefer. If you guys come on, come up, just have you share your testimonies first, and then we'll baptize you. They are married. That's why they share the last name. Just an FYI. Who's going to go first? All right.
There you go. Good morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'll just jump right into the script. I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember, really. I distinctly remember making the decision to follow Jesus, but I don't know the exact date, since I was fairly young. I grew up in a conservative Christian home. Church was every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday night, and then during the week, I went to the same small K-12 Christian school in that church. So Monday through Friday was very much the same experience that Sunday morning was. Chapel was on Thursdays. They made you wear a tie.
It's a shame.
And then in 11th grade, you do a mission trip and everything like that. So I learned everything. I learned all the popular Bible verses, sang the songs. I know every Christian song by heart. I could sing them in my sleep. And I walked the walk. This is just the environment that I knew best, and since I was a go-with-the-flow kind of guy, I didn't really ask questions about it. As this was the system I was familiar with, and that's how I did it. I went along with it. So to keep up with that trend and maintain the comfort of what I thought was my faith I was accustomed to, I went to Messiah College, where you follow a very similar schedule. This time, chapel was twice a week, and they did not make you wear a tie. If you went to Messiah, you're familiar with the chapel credits you have to maintain. Everyone tries to work their way around them so you can sleep in on chapel day. Church wasn't mandatory, but all your friends were going. So to avoid the walk of shame at lunchtime to the cafeteria without your Sunday best church clothes, you still went to church. This is when I had enough of that. I remember continuing the Christian walk to maintain my image, but deep down I had some very, very serious doubts about what I had learned all my life. I got sick of the worship services, the repeat after me prayers. I thought everyone around me was disingenuously following the same system that I had been. They just didn't realize it. I even thought of it as that, just a system. I realized I hadn't really formed this faith myself, and it was just a result of what I was comfortable with in my life so far. I remember when I was probably 8 years old, just an example, our church would do this Christmas Eve service, call to action, call to Jesus, and the pastor would actually ask you to fill out a card saying, check yes if you're already a Christian, and write the date when you became a Christian, or no, you're not a Christian, or you became a Christian that night. And I checked that box that said I accepted Jesus and said the prayer with the pastor, but only because I knew I'd get a goodie bag at the end. So my faith just was not very serious, wasn't intentional. I was in it for the wrong reasons. So in college, I realized that, and my faith growing up wasn't serious or intentional for that matter. However, deep down, I still knew it was right, even though I was constantly looking for reasons for it not to be. While I had these serious doubts in college, I still knew that I needed the truth somehow, except in a more genuine way. Deep down, I wanted to want Jesus, but the doubt kept coming in, and I just didn't. Naturally, I can be a pretty skeptical person, so removing doubt isn't always an easy thing. There wasn't a aha moment for me. To be fair, it's actually been a very gradual process through talking to a lot of people, a lot of friends, mentors, being here. To be fair, it's taken a while. At one point, I even asked God to help me remove that doubt, which can be a pretty weird thing to think about. So since graduating college, being on my own, away from the system that I was part of for so long and what I thought I was in, being part of MCC here and our small groups and forming more deep friendships with people who just aren't disingenuous, real people here, that are also struggling with similar things. I found myself in a place with little doubt, much less doubt. Now I see God is moving in my life, and I see how he has done so much in my life that I never even noticed before. Even in those times that I was doubting him, he was taking very good care of me. So today, I'm still affected in certain ways by doubts. They might sneak through every so often, but now my faith is intentional. It's proactive and it's genuine, but being baptized was never something I considered growing up, even in my Christian walk. It was somewhat of this extracurricular thing. You didn't really need to do it. Since I was really just going with the flow, I just felt like I didn't need to do that. But as the doubt fades from my life, I actually want to be baptized. I know things aren't always going to be easy, and faith might get really, really hard some days. So being baptized today is a reminder to me that when doubts creep up, my faith isn't something I just take for granted as I did for so much of my life. For a while there, I hadn't made any steps in the right direction in my faith. It was very stagnant. Being baptized today is a very big decision for me to make, and over the last few years, I've learned that is the kind of faith I had been seeking in all that time of doubt, one that is getting stronger and stronger and less susceptible to doubt.
That's awesome. Thanks, Sarah. Share. Ready?
Since I'm more emotional than usual. I'm Sarah, Dan's wife. Today, I choose to be baptized. I should have gone first. I was already baptized as an infant by my mom and dad's choice. So a lot of people are asking me, so then why are you getting baptized again? To me, baptism is a symbol that I have now have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I am not just a crying baby getting water splashed on my face, but have accepted him as my savior and believe in his resurrection. During my childhood and adolescence, I don't believe that I could have said that and be completely honest. I knew God at the time and wanted to know him better, but I just wasn't at that point in my life to confidently say that and establish that. Then college happened, and my overwhelming anxiety and terrifying lies of weakness and failure flooded my life and my mind. I was drowning at times and could barely keep my head above the water. I called my mom crying pretty much every day, but I had friends to vent to, but these were just earthly distractions, like a Band-Aid, just to cover it up, but that just couldn't actually heal me. So I turned to talk to God. I kind of actually yelled at him. I had a couple shouting matches with him that people on campus were probably kind of scared of if they came by or across one, but they were definitely needed in my case. I needed just to get out there and lash it all out. I got vulnerable and bared my deepest parts to him that I didn't want anyone else to see were breaking. I don't like showing that to people. So as I was asking Dan how to explain that to a room full of people, I said, how could you just go from knowing God and being a comfortable Christian to having a personal relationship with him, even to the point that you can yell and cry to him and in the end wipe those tears away and know that he has this? And Dan said, I guess it just kind of clicked for you. And that is really the best way I can still explain it. It really just clicked for me. I am not one to start confrontation with a person who I hardly know or am just comfortable with, and I would never want to show someone who I hardly know my vulnerable sides. So at that point, I knew I was choosing Jesus for real. I mean, you just don't yell at strangers, right? It was kind of like my footprints in the sand moment. When I thought that all the time I was going through this on my own, he was actually right there carrying me. So today I'm using this opportunity to show that I am born again and that I'm living my new life that I have accepted. I knew that I had a long road to go when it came to growing in my faith, and that was 100% okay with me and still is, because I don't want to be that comfortable Christian anymore. I can't lie, I still continue to mess up and try to be that all-knowing human at times, but every time I know he forgives me. He continues to draw me to him so he can show me how to just trust fall into him in every aspect of my life. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
Amen.
Powerful testimonies. A lot there that I'm sure many of us can identify with. Doubts, anxieties, wrestling with our faith. I'm glad God brought you to this community. We can do that openly and share with one another. So who's going first? Dan. I'm going to have Cody and Sarah's mom come on up too so that you can be ready to pray for them. If your parents want to come up too, if you guys want to come up, you're more than welcome to. It's warm. Go ahead and get on your knees. Just cross your arms. Dan, thank you so much for your testimony. It's awesome to hear what God's been doing in your life just over the years, and again, just to see him working in your life throughout this journey. And I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so privileged to be able to baptize you this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit.
All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, today we celebrate the testimony of Dan Schaefer, God, and what you are doing in his life, what you have been doing, Jesus. We thank you for his willingness to share, God, a testimony that a lot of us can relate to, Jesus. I pray that you would chip away every single day more and more at that doubt, that he would be able to lay that at your feet, that in the moments where he does feel that, God, that he would go to you, as ironic and weird as that sounds, Jesus, that he would run back to you. Because his foundation is in you, Lord Jesus, and he knows that. God, I thank you for the gentleness that you've instilled in this man, the strength that you've instilled, the way that he loves his wife, the way that he is going to love his child, Jesus, that you have given him so many gifts and a spirit of humility. God, we just thank you for his life, for his testimony. We just pray that you would draw close to him every single day as he continues this journey with you. Amen.
Sarah. Tina Han, good. You guys can come on closer if you want. Sarah, just like Dan, I'm so excited that God's brought you this moment. I'm so proud of you. I just thank you for your testimony. Thank you that God has brought you through those things and continues to work in your life and on this journey that we have with him. So it's my privilege as well to be able to baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all your many blessings with Sarah. Thank you for her journey with you and letting her shout at you and praise you. And that is her reassurance that you are in her life and in her life forever. Be with her on her journey throughout the rest of her life and let her keep talking to you. And when she does need you to lift her up and only have that one set of footprints in the sand, let her know that it's fine, that you love her and you're leading her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Congratulations, guys. Why don't we give them all just another round of applause? I love Baptism Sundays. I just love the opportunity that we have to hear testimonies of what God's been doing in the lives this morning of these three, and just hearing the life change. And for these folks, you know, it's this stake in the ground type of moment for them as they publicly declare and say, "This is who I am. I've given my life to Christ. I'm going to follow Him, and I'm going to surrender my life to Him." And so the water, you know, it's symbolic of what Christ has done in our life, and doing it publicly is something that we all get to share in, and now we get to walk in this journey with them. It's not something that they do on their own, but it's something that we all get to share in and see what God's doing in their lives and be impacted by them and also help them in their journey. And I just think the whole thing is beautiful and powerful. And so thank you guys so much. Your testimonies were awesome. I couldn't be more jacked out of my mind, if you will. I don't know what that even means. This morning I'm just going to wrap up in the few minutes that I have, which as a pastor means you got about 45 minutes always. But I want to look at just this theme of being made whole. And this morning we're specifically going to look at how God makes us whole, how we're transformed by Him. And you heard that in these testimonies that we just heard. But I want to look at a scripture. But before that, you know, whenever I say the word transformed, or whenever you hear that word, like God has transformed you, or whatever, whenever you hear the word transformed, what are some things that you think of? And, you know, for me, you'd think that as a pastor, like things like this would be the first thing that I would think of or should think of when I hear the word transformed or transforming. But the truth of the matter is, the first thing I think of is the Transformers, the little robots that like Optimus Prime and It's these little cars or planes that and they like shift and they become these robots and they run around and they beat each other up and all those things. I don't know. I haven't watched the movies because I go back to the cartoons when I was growing up and like I feel like it can't get any better. So I just want to preserve. Just want to preserve that. But anyway, so I think of this transformer, this object that changes form and becomes, you know, something new, something different. And then I also think of this when I think of transformed. I don't know if it's just because of seeing pictures on Facebook with the proms. It's prom season now. And, you know, I think about that moment, you know, when someone maybe doesn't dress up very often and then they dress up or they get their best clothes on, they put makeup on for the girls, and they basically transform their whole appearance. And I begin to see these pictures, and then I think of, like, my own daughters and that moment when they go to prom, and I shudder and I just terrify myself and I don't know what to do with that. Like when my little girl become this beautiful woman and they walk down the steps, but they won't be going with me. And I want to terrify whoever that boy is and transform him into like a bubbling mess of fear. But God needs to transform my physical body to more like the Rock where I can make that happen. Anyways, but this idea of, like, you know, someone, all of a sudden, you know, they have a makeover or something. It's like they're like a whole new person. This transformation process that takes place. And I can't talk about transformation, of course, without talking about our good friends Chip and Joanna Gaines, who take houses. And I always wonder when I watch the show, why am I not living in Waco, Texas? Because you can go and you can buy a house for a quarter. And they're like, your budget's $9. Great. Here's a house for a quarter, but what do you have left? And like $8.75. Like we can transform that into your dream home. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And we'll have floating shelves and white everywhere. And I don't know why, but now I want wood all over my house and want to bring rusted things into the house. Like, I don't get that, but anyways, I want it. But this idea of, like, taking something old that was broken down, they make it beautiful and they completely transform it and it becomes something totally new. And so, you know, I think about then, how does this happen spiritually? Can this happen spiritually? Can we be made whole inside? Can we be made new inside? Like when things have maybe been broken down or hurting, or, you know, like you heard in the testimonies, confusion or whatever that may be, can God then take that and bring a wholeness, bring a sense of peace or fulfillment in those places where there's this radical change that God does in our lives that not just changes on the inside, but then begins to change us on the outside as well, where we begin to actually look and think and act differently than we did before. And God definitely does that. And so I wanted to just look quickly at an amazing passage of Scripture to see how this happens. And it's from a letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus. And we're going to look at Ephesians 2, and I'm just going to read the first couple of verses to start here. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air," which is just a descriptive way that Paul is using to talk about the devil or Satan or our enemy, "the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." And so what Paul is doing here is he begins to lay out just this idea of the spiritual journey that we're on and the transformation that takes place where we were once dead in our sins. And so Paul, the writer of Ephesians, oftentimes will use this imagery of sin and relating that to death. We just feel like we're dead inside, like there's something going on where there's this desire where we feel like there's more, but it just feels like something is controlling us or consuming us, and we feel almost like we're dead. We're in this place where we're controlled by sin and we feel dead. So it could be things like anger, lust, gluttony, the self-fulfillment, pleasure, pride. You know, but all of these things, what they're basically doing is they're essentially putting yourself at the center of your own world and want to take care of yourself. And so this is a huge problem in our culture, right? I mean, it's a message that we're taught. It's a message that we see throughout all the kinds of entertainment medium and all those things that we're taught to embrace. So basically, like, take care of yourself first. Treat yourself. Do what feels best for yourself, for number one, for you. Take care of yourself. And yet, look around. Where has this brought us as a society, as a culture? You know, this self-focus or this worship of self where we'd say, do what makes you happy, and that's what will bring happiness and joy. But it's really self-destructive, isn't it? A society can't be built on that. If we were all just running around consumed with ourselves, no one ever serving each other, the whole thing would just fall apart. It will not leave us feeling fulfilled. It will leave us feeling empty. We will want more, and it's almost like there's this insatiable desire to want more and more and more and more. And this is the pursuit of self-fulfillment. This is what happens when we put ourselves in that place of worship or just taking care of ourselves or this self-preservation or self-focus or just doing whatever it is to make me and my little tribe here perfectly happy. It never satisfies, does it? In fact, what happens is this pursuit just ends up making us feel more and more empty because we achieve or we get something that we thought would bring us happiness. And then it's like, oh, I don't know that I actually am that happy. And then we begin to resent that very thing that we thought would bring us happiness because it's not bringing us happiness. And we just continue to feel empty inside. This is the cycle that we see in our society. This cycle that many of us oftentimes find ourselves in. And this is what Paul is talking about here. And he goes on then in verse 4. He says, but God. And those two words are so crucial for us this morning and in our lives, because change happens in our life. This movement from death into what Paul's going to talk about as life can only happen because of God, can only happen because who God is and because of God alone. So it says, but God, and he begins to describe this, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So the same God that raised Jesus Christ from the grave that we celebrated a couple weeks ago on Easter, now is the power as well to raise us from this state of death that sin causes to a place of life and fulfillment and joy that we can experience like you heard in these testimonies. So it goes on, it says, by grace you've been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So the change that we experience, this transformation that takes place in our life, this thing that God does to make us whole and bring us fulfillment in our lives, it only comes from God. It's not from our own doing. It's not our right actions that save us. You know, oftentimes I feel saddened when I hear people say, well, I can't go to church or I can't become a part of a church community because everybody's got it together and I'm over here. And you heard in the testimonies, like, we don't have it all together. It's this journey of God bringing wholeness and healing and purpose and life to our lives. And the reality is, who really is good enough to come to church if that's our standard, right? There's no amount of goodness that we could ever attain to in our own doing and our own talents that could ever match with the goodness of God. And yet somehow we feel like if I just can clean myself up, then I'll be okay. But we can't. Only God can do that. But fortunately for us, he's rich in mercy. He has great love. He has immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us. Paul is trying to use these descriptive words to show just how big and immeasurable these things are of God's grace, of God's love, God's mercy towards us. And so it's in God's grace that saves us through faith. So it's our response then to his mercy, his love, his grace that brings freedom from the death that sin has for us to life. So how do we move from this place from death to life? Well, first we need to admit that our pursuit of this self-fulfillment is not working. It's leaving us short. It's not what we're after. We have to take ourselves off that place of trying to just protect ourselves or go after ourselves or make ourselves happy. We need to move ourselves all that place, and we need to have faith that Jesus Christ is the one who saves us, and we need to put him in the rightful place of our worship and our honor. And so what we do is we submit our lives to him in faith. We trust that his ways are higher than our ways, and we give our lives to him. We begin to follow him and with our lives. We give our whole lives to him, trusting that he knows what's best for us and has our best interests in mind. And so in Romans 10, Paul to the Roman church says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So as we declare God's lordship over our lives, as we confess that he is the Son of God, that he provides salvation, we say, I can't do it on my own anymore. I need you, God. I'm submitting my life to you, and I'm going to surrender my life to you because I trust that your ways are higher than mine. That to lose, to find my life, I need to lose it, and I need to give my life to you so that I can truly save it. And that's what Christ does in our life. And then the last verse in this brief passage is, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now the band, come on up. So his workmanship, the Greek word for that workmanship is poema, which is where we get the word poem. And so it's this descriptive word of saying that we are God's creation, that we've been created by Christ to do good work, that we've been created with purpose and plan and a beauty, and it's wonderful. And so because of this, we're no longer on this endless search to satisfy ourselves, because we find that God is the one who's satisfied us, because he's the one that created us. And so then we become into our workmanship, our creation, this very beautiful poem of God that he has written for our lives. And so now, because of this change that God's done in our life, we have the purpose to live out what God's called us to do. So there's rest, there's joys, there's peace. There will be trials, yes, but we can live with a fulfilled, peaceful life because of the work that God has done, not ourselves. And so we get to live out this new reality now with life with Jesus Christ, both here and in eternity, which is absolutely incredible. And so we don't just believe this one time. We don't just get baptized and that's kind of it. That's the pinnacle. This is just all part of the journey of giving our lives to Christ and walking with him and having a relationship with him. It's absolutely amazing. And so we get to live this new way of life. We're continually down our life so that we can have a full life with Christ, so that we can be with him through those confusing, difficult times that we walk through. But he's there with us, like Sarah talked about. And he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He's promised these things to us. And so as we close, just in the minute or two that I have left, if you find yourself just in the place where maybe you feel dead inside, like there's no joy, there's no purpose, you're just like, What's happening? I don't know. I feel kind of caught in this place where I feel like I'm trapped by my anger or maybe by lust or, I try to just take care of myself, and that's been my whole pursuit. And I thought these different things would lead to something, but it just feels like I'm empty and it doesn't fulfill anything. And I feel like there's more. What is it? And well, I'll tell you the answer to that is Christ. It's giving our lives to him and responding to the riches of his grace, fullness of his mercy, and his great love for you. And if you consider yourself a follower of Christ, but find yourself just feeling like, man, you're on this endless pursuit of just striving to make God happy or to please other people, or feels like, man, I got to keep doing it. I got to earn my salvation. I got to work at it. I got to keep doing these right things. And if I don't work hard enough, like it's all gonna crumble. Pray that you would just begin to rest in God's goodness and God's grace and God's love for you. I pray that you understand just the very truth that you are the very poem, the very creation of God himself. A beautiful creation, a unique creation, a work of art made by the creator himself, by God. And that you would live out your purpose and your heart would be changed to receive the love that he has for you because you're resting in him, not because you're striving to do it on your own. So remember that but God, those two words, but God, that's the pivot of this whole thing. And that's the pivot of our lives. It's the pivot of what we heard today, that we were dead, but God stepped in. And just like he rose Jesus from the grave on Easter that we celebrate each year, that we celebrate every Sunday as we gather together on Sundays to do, he raises us to life with him now, tomorrow, the next day, on and on and on again. So I want to pray, and I just want to ask you, we're going to have the prayer people around the sides and the back, and if you've never made that step to surrender your life to Christ, and I would love to see some people in this room maybe who haven't done that be baptized the next time we do that. And you were so moved by the testimonies of what God's doing in your life that you responded to it. And so I just ask you, if that's you, if you feel like there's that, man, I feel dead inside, I feel like there's got to be more, I would just encourage you to be brave enough and want it enough to go to somebody and ask for prayer and help them just pray with you and lead you in that way. I think it's really important to be able to do that in community, and that's why I don't want to just do it from up front. I feel like it's really important to have a personal touch as we make this huge decision to give our lives to the Lord. And so I would just encourage you to take that step. On the other side, if you feel like, I've been following Christ, but realize that I'm trying to do it all in my own strength, just pray that you would rest in him today, that you would submit again, once again to him, and the prayer people will be available as well for you this morning. So as the band sings this song, just encourage you to stay where you're at and then move if you'd like to pray with somebody. But I just want you just to be in a prayerful place where you just experience the Holy Spirit speaking to you, resting in His presence, and that you would just be impacted by the love, the grace, and the great mercy that our Jesus Christ has for you. God, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the celebration of the testimonies of all that you've done. It's just it's amazing to take three different unique individuals and hear their different journeys and stories, and yet one thing was the same, is that you intersected their life and there was a change that took place. You know, we may not know exactly when that happened. Maybe it was just a part of the journey, but Lord, there was that transformation over their lives. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that we would experience more and more of that as a community and more of that in our world and our culture, in this community of Mechanicsburg as well, that more people would come to know you. And that's why we're here. And I pray that you would do that in our lives. In your name, amen.